ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 52 विच वन 51 एषा पञ्चजनस्याज्ञा दुहिता वै प्रजापतेः अक्षिणी नाम पत्नी त्वे प्रजेसा प्रतिगृहताम्। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ माय डियर सन दक्ष, प्रजापति पंचजन हैज ए डॉटर नेम्ड अक्षिणी हुम आई ऑफर टू यू सो दैट यू मे एक्सेप्ट हर एज योर वाइफ। टेक्स्ट 52 ट्रांसलेशन। Now unite in sexual life as man and woman, and in this way, by sexual intercourse, you will be able to beget hundreds of children in the womb of this girl to increase the population. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7.11, Dharma Veruda Bhutesu Kamosmi. I am sex that is not contrary to religious principles. Sexual intercourse ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is dharma, a religious principle. But it is not intended for sense enjoyment. Indulgence in sense enjoyment through sexual intercourse is not allowed by the Vedic principles. One may follow the natural tendency for sex life only to beget children. Therefore, the Lord told Daksha in this verse, "This girl is offered to you only for sex life to beget children. Not for any other purpose. She is very fertile, and therefore you will be able to have as many children as you can beget." Srila Biswanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that Daksha was given the facility for unlimited sexual intercourse. In Daksha's previous life, he was also known as Daksha. But in the course of performing sacrifices, he offended Lord Shiva, and thus his head was replaced with that of a goat. Then Daksha gave up his life because of his degraded condition. But because he maintained the same unlimited sexual desires, he underwent austerities by which he satisfied the Supreme Lord, who then gave him unlimited potency for sexual intercourse. It should be noted that although such facility for sexual intercourse is achieved by the great grace of Supreme Personality of Godhead, this facility is not offered to advanced devotees who are free from material desires, anya vilashita shunyam. In this connection, it may be noted, if the American boys and girls engaged in Krishna consciousness movement want to advance in Krishna consciousness to achieve supreme benefit of loving service to the Lord, they should refrain from indulging in this facility for sex life. Therefore, we advise that one should at least refrain from illicit sex. Even if there are opportunities for sex life, one should voluntarily accept the limitation of having sex only for progeny, not for any other purpose. Karda Muni was also given the facility for sex life, but he had only a slight desire for it. Therefore, after begetting children in the womb of Devahuti, Karda Muni became completely renounced. The purport is that if one wants to return home back to Godhead, one should voluntarily refrain from sex life. Sex should be accepted only as much as needed, not unlimitedly. One should not think that Daksha received the favor of Lord by receiving the facilities for unlimited sex. Later verses will reveal that Daksha again committed an offense, this time at the lotus feet of Narada. Therefore, although sex life is the topmost enjoyment in the material world, and although one may have an opportunity for sexual enjoyment by the grace of Lord, This entails a risk of committing offenses. Daksha was open to such offenses, and therefore, strictly speaking, he was not actually favored by the Supreme Lord. One should not seek the favor of Lord for an unlimited potency in sex life. Text 53. I'll read the translation because these two verses will end the chapter. After you give birth to many hundreds and thousands of children, they will also be captivated by my illusory energy and will engage, like you, in sexual intercourse. But because of my mercy to you and them, they will also be able to give me presentation in devotion. Text 54. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after the creator of the entire universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, had spoken in this way in the presence of Prajapati Daksha, he immediately disappeared as if he were an object experienced in a dream. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of 6th canto, 4th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Hamsa Guhya Prayers, offered to the Lord by Prajapati Daksha.
Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
Oh my dear son Daksha, Prajapati Daksha, Prajapati Panchajan has a daughter named Akshini, whom I offer to you so that you may accept her as your wife. Hare Krishna. So as we know, today's topic is on, Prabhupada specially mentions about sex life and the purport. Actually I prepared for another verse, so I'm a little confused where to start. But we see in the subsequent verses how Prajapati Daksha is actually begetting so many children, and they go to austerity to the banks of Sindhu River, where it meets the sea, Arabian Sea, in a very nice pristine place. They perform austerities, and that austerities were meant, just like Prajapati, he also did austerities to beget children, basically to get progeny, to have sex life. And the following their father's order, they are also doing the same thing. But Narada Muni comes and preach them to give up sex life. So when people come to Krishna consciousness, it is always, everything is very nice. People take darshan of the deity is very nice. Devotees are nice. Prasadam is nice. And they feel very enchanted in a very mystic way that is unknown to them in their previous experiences. They like the environment, everything. And then when we preach to them, normally we say, you don't have to give up everything, just add Krishna in your life. Don't subtract, just add Krishna. Because very difficult for people to actually give up the habits they have suddenly. They may go away. So therefore we say, just add Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. So when a person chants Hare Krishna, take darshan of deities, associated with devotees, and that the process cleans his heart. Gaurang Prabhu was telling, when a person chants Hare Krishna in the holy name seminar, the purification is done by the holy name. Just like if you put a cleansing agent in a bottle and shake that bottle, it will clean from inside automatically. Cleansing agent will clean. Similarly, the holy name, when it goes to the heart, it cleans, purifies our desires. And when the desires are purified, then we gradually tell them what to do and what not to do. And we say, basically, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no meat eating. And when you say these things, suddenly a person feels a little shocked. No? But normally in this world today, there is a lot of propaganda that meat eating, intoxication, gambling and illicit sex are actually source of happiness. This is the propaganda. You indulge in all these things and you'll be really happy. But actually, they're the source of miseries. So by simple preaching, if we can tell them these are not source of happiness, rather these are sources of miseries, then people will think, okay, let me try to give it up. Just like, say for example, when you say intoxication is normal, even a student in a university, slaughterhouse, they go to the university, the association is there, then there are parties and the drinks are offered. Normally they start with as a celebration, right? So, but when they drink it, it tastes bitter. The stomach burns. There is so much miseries, but somehow or other, they take it because propaganda is that it is source of happiness. And after taking such intoxication, what happens? They forget their whole existence. You know, they forget their bodies. They become beyond the bodies. We also trying to become beyond bodies. They just by drinking. You know, they also go beyond body. That is like hippie concept of spiritual life. But that is not spiritual life. They just forget their body, and in a kind of hallucination they roam in their, you know, mental platform, and they think that is happiness. But actually it is misery, because they can't even go back to their hostel rooms, or they can't go even to their home. On the way they can fall down on the road, and whole night they can spend like that. Mosquitoes biting and so many things are happening. So actually it is a source of misery. It may start with celebrations, but what happens in the future when they grow up gradually, when they face the real problems of life, so many problems that nobody can avoid in this world, then they take shelter of intoxication to forget the miseries. But in that situation also, when a person takes shelter of intoxication, he doesn't actually practically act on the problems which are source of his miseries. He just spend money, spend time forgetting the problem. And when the effect of intoxication goes away, again he comes back to the same spot, and the same problems are still in front of him, and he has not done anything about it. And as a result, he has lost time, money, energy, everything, and the problem has in fact increased because he didn't do anything about it. So anybody who is an open-minded person, he can easily understand that intoxication not only it affects the body, but it destroys him in all respects. So when you say no intoxication, he says okay. Then you say no gambling. Say why no gambling? It's fun. You go to the gambling shop and play some gambling, your mind is absorbed. Again you forget the miseries, but you lose money. Jagat Swami, he was giving a class here, and he was telling that everybody knows, they're just saying in English, the house is always win, always the winner. But the house always wins. House means the place where they play the gamble. And anybody who knows I'm going to that house, I'm going to lose money and the house is going to win. Still people go. But when, in the course of their gambling, they lose a lot of money, they become angry and they try to find unethical means to win a gamble match. So they become untruthful. That is also a miserable situation. And when we say all these things, then say, okay, I will not gamble. Then illicit sex, when we say it is not good, why? Because it's become a social scandalous, and there is a stress because of that, and there are so many problems. And then they say, okay, it's not good, I will give it up. Meat eating, okay, you're unnecessarily killing the animals, you're supposed to protect, you should be merciful. And when we forward all these arguments, anybody who is open-minded, he will say, okay, even meat eating is not good for health, doctors agree. So they say, okay, we'll give it up. So, to follow regulative principles becomes easier when one understands actually later, these are all useful for me. Similarly, then we say honesty, humility, tolerance, forbearance, all these qualities that one should develop. Why? Again, because this is helpful, and anybody who is again open-minded will easily accept. Just like a thief, he lives in a his lifestyle is that of stealing. Because he's stealing, he's not truthful, he's not honest. Because he's not honest, does it mean he's happy? Just because he's stealing, will he be happy? He cannot be happy. He's always, whatever is the police, he becomes scared. The police doesn't know that he's a thief. But by seeing him, he is scared. So this is his lifestyle. So the more one amass money in an unethical means, the more anxiety that goes on his head. So basically, all these qualities actually help us in our day-to-day life to remain in a standard, normal way, to become happy. So when we preach like this, people say, okay, we are ready to give up and chant Hare Krishna nicely. But gradually, when one comes to a platform, we say, not only you have to give up illicit sex, but you have to give up sex altogether. And when that proposal is made, then people immediately become upset. Now how is it so? How can we do it? It's like Daksha Prajapati, he performed so much austerities and he got sex life. Then he wanted same for his children. But when Narada Muni preached them not to go for it, he was immensely upset. He is a learned person. He knew Vedic rites. In fact, he met Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, face to face. But still, he is saying, how can there be no sex? How can there be no sex life? It was very difficult. So, an ordinary man can accept regulative principles, because regulative principles help a very smooth life. And the traffic signals are followed properly, the traffic moves very smoothly, nicely. But if there is no regulations, then there will be chaos. So they understand it. But when the point comes to no sex life, there are problems in accepting. Even learned men fail to understand why no sex life. But if you see in the life of pure devotees, it doesn't matter when one is married or not married, but they are free from desire for sex life. That is what one should aspire. Why? Because after all, spiritual life means beyond bodily concept of life. So one may give up so many things, but if he is not able to give up sex life, he cannot give up bodily concept of life. It's impossible. And spiritual life means to come out of bodily concept of life and actually aspire for meeting with Supreme Lord. And in any spiritual processes, whether it is Ashtanga Yoga or any yoga system, and also in Bhakti Yoga, one has to get rid of this sex desire. Normally it is said, in Bhakti Yoga, sex is allowed, like that. That is the common way people understand it. But it is not like that. Prabhupada clarifies in many places. One cannot advance in Krishna consciousness unless he is not getting himself rid of sex life. In fact, Prabhupada says, why sex is there in Krishna consciousness? Because even if a person is married, because the power of Krishna consciousness is so powerful, the process of Krishna consciousness is so powerful, it purifies him so much that he loses taste for sex life altogether. And we can see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, there are so many. It is said, Mahaprabhu Bhaktaganar Bairagya Pradhan Tahadeki Prithahoe Gaur Bhagavan. That among associates of, what is the typical characteristic of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate? Not that they have given up intoxication, not that they have given up meat eating or all these things. But the typical character is that they have no sex desire. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees that quality in them, he becomes very happy, very pleased. And those who desire to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, devotees desire to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates especially, they always wanted to please Mahaprabhu. So in that process, they forget about the pleasure of sex life. So there are different pleasures available in this world, in this material world. Like one is sensual pleasure, then there are emotional pleasure, there are intellectual pleasure, and highest is spiritual pleasure, which is unknown to this world. Sensual pleasure is available even to the animals. And a human being also can have it. But above sensual pleasure is what is called emotional pleasure, because there is a sense of sacrifice. Just like if I want to eat a rasgulla, there is only one rasgulla. And while I am about to have it, like in our ashram, it is not possible. Somebody will, you know, just come in anyway. But when somebody comes in, I can do one thing, I just close my eyes and eat it. I have not seen you. Like that. One can do like that. But the best is to actually share. Because if I share, although I may lose the, you know, sense enjoyment, but I will feel satisfaction in my mind, in my heart. So although there is sacrifice, but pleasure is still there. Not that pleasure is lost. So sacrifice doesn't mean pleasure is lost. In fact, sacrifice increases pleasure. Similarly, there is a relationship, friendship and everything, but then when one is engrossed in like doing artisting or artistry or composing poems or solving some problems, an intellectual activity, then one ignores relationships sometimes. You know, sometimes friends call in the hostel, let's go to this movie, new movie is there. But then if he's, you know, very engrossed in doing some intellectual activity, say, not now, you go, you enjoy, I'll come later, or I'll not come, like that. Or the dinner time may be there, nice feast in the dinner, but still, because you're busy studying Srimad Bhagavatam or things like that, you're absorbed, you say, okay, not now, I'll go in the second batch. So again, there is sacrifice, but because one is absorbed in an intellectual platform, therefore, there is no loss. Similarly, when one elevates himself to the spiritual platform, then he will lose. There is no desire for sense gratification, no desire for any emotional, sentimental relationship, no desire for any jnana, jnana, karma, everything. Jnana, karma, anavrutam, then only bhakti will be there. That is spiritual life. So one may say, well, that you can say, I can understand what is sensual pleasure. Even I can understand what is emotional pleasure. In India especially, there are so many family ties are there. In West it may not be there. But still, relationships are there. And some may not even understand what is intellectual pleasure. Because not everybody is able to do artistry work. Not everybody is able to compose poetry. So they don't have access to intellectual pleasure. Although they have a human body, they have a brain, everything. They don't have access to it. So they may say, you may speak all these lofty things about spiritual ecstasy. I even cannot understand how to write a poetry. I cannot even, when I read it, I don't understand it. So how can I have spiritual ecstasy? It is so high. It's not possible for me. But actually it is not true. All these qualities, all these facilities to enjoy senses, or the facility to have emotional relationship and, you know, nice friendship and all this thing, or the facility to have intellectual pleasure, is available due to one's own karma, basically. Because of his previous pious deeds, he has access to it. But bhakti is independent of all these pious credit. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Nitya Siddha Krishna Preva Sadhya Kabunaya Sravanadi Siddha Chitta Karvayuda. That this Krishna consciousness is the topmost and the pure pleasure that can be available to anyone. Doesn't matter what pious credit he has or he doesn't have. Why? Because it is already there in the heart, not that he has to acquire it. You know, this intellectual power or sensual power, like Daksha performed so much austerities to gain sensual strength, power to have sex life. Similarly, one cannot do some austerities to acquire all this credit to have a devotional life. Because devotion is already there in the heart. All it has to be done is uncovered. Doesn't matter whether he is able to write poetry, doesn't matter whether he is able to have nice emotional relations and things like that. Doesn't matter whether he has facility to enjoy senses. Doesn't matter the position. Just by performing Krishna conscious activity, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One can have access to this bhakti. And nobody is unfortunate in this regard. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, he has given all this facility so that by following the process, one can easily get rid of this sex pleasure. It may be a source of pleasure, but when we sacrifice and follow the principle strictly, then we will have access to higher taste, that is spiritual life. And when you have higher taste, automatically we lose taste in the sex life. So this is what one should aspire to, practice Krishna consciousness very, very diligently, very, very sincerely. And we can see in the life of all these devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, associates, they had practically no taste for sex life. In one past time, I was remembering, I don't remember the names, but I know this past time, that there was one family in Bengal, and the husband and wife independently but simultaneously developed a desire to have a child. Now, they have no desire for sex life because they were happy looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus face and serving him and hearing his instructions, hearing his pastimes. So they had no, this is another thing, that how can one overcome a sex life is that one should have intense desire to hear about Krishna's pastimes. When one is very much absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, even in deity worship, when in absorbed deity worship, offering bhoga and doing arati, all these activities actually takes us, absorbs us in Krishna, and when you're attached to Krishna, automatically one loses, desire for sex life. So this family, they had no desire, but somehow, super soul was inspiring from within. So just to beget the children, they went all the way from Bengal to Jagannath Puri to took permission from Mahaprabhu that we should we have a child or not. Only after having the blessings, they decided, okay, we'll have a child now. So this is what devotee's life. And we can see in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes also, so many disciples came to him, so many accepted him as spiritual master. Many he gave sannyas, that is absolutely no sex life. But many he asked them to get married. Like we, Bhurijan Prabhu was here. We know he was in Hong Kong preaching and Jagat Tarini Mataji. She came to Los Angeles and there she went to the temple and then she decided to finish with film career and have, let us live a spiritual life, pure life. No more complacency. Complacency. Just live a pure life. And then Prabhupada said, okay, you go to Hong Kong and get married to this boy. And together you preach. So this is like something, that surrender is something we cannot understand. She flew all the way to Hong Kong. She didn't know how to speak Chinese. She didn't know where he was living. And all these things. And then somehow or other, after reaching there, 2-3 days later, she is meeting him and they get married. But the whole idea is to please Prabhupada. And there was no question of any sex life. So gradually, because of that power of association of pure devotees, they're just preaching Krishna Katha, observing Krishna consciousness. So sex life becomes very, very inferior. So in this way, devotee, we can understand why bhakti is highest, because even if one is in married life, still he loses taste for sex life. Other yoga processes, they have to very, very mechanically, forcefully, they have to throw sex life out of their mind. But again, unless they meet Krishna, unless they meet the super soul, there is no question of overcoming it. They may be doing it for thousands of years, billions of years, but still it is very difficult to come out of it. So therefore, the association of pure devotees is especially very, very nice, because instantly one starts devotional service. Very, very instantly. Pure devotee association, one can immediately, instantly, whoever he may be, immediately he gets access to devotional service. And by his mercy, one is able to actually overcome desire for sex life. And the process between devotee and this pure devotee, interaction between devotee and pure devotees and Supreme Lord, all these interactions are so sweet and so nice. Srila Prabhupada says, when one tastes the sweetness of Krishna, one will automatically lose taste for this material world, this sensual pleasures. And therefore, Narada Muni is preaching to these prachetas, you are already pure because you have done so much austerities. Why do you want to entangle yourself? Just go back to Godhead. Sometimes people ask, why not? They are actually qualified. You know, they are the qualified one. If they get married, the sons of Daksha Prajapati, they are called Hayashava, something like that. The sons of Daksha Prajapati, they perform so much austerities, except they are actually very, very pure in heart. And there is no question of illicit sex if they get married, because they are already pure. They fixed, they are austere. There is no question if they get married, there is no question of illicit sex, but still they were said no sex. And that's what disturbed Daksha Prajapati. Of course, then he curses Narada Muni and so many things happens. So, because it is not necessary. It is necessary only if Krishna desires, if only some spiritual authorities desires, like this couple went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is necessary only if by the guidance of some superior one can accept that order and accept sex life only for begetting children. That is the only need. Otherwise, if one wants to test Krishna in his life, there has to be no sex life. Otherwise, it is not possible. One cannot have one leg in the bed and one leg out of the bed, like that. There is a saying. It's not possible. So in this way, you can understand how that in bhakti also, when we accept Krishna consciousness, we are automatically elevated from all these platforms, and life will be blissful. One will have access gradually. Thank you very much for hearing. For any questions or comments? I don't have any qualifications to speak on this subject. It is very difficult to convince oneself no sex life. But if you understand the teachings of these big acharyas, then it makes a lot of sense. Nityan. we can understand those are avadut, like Nityananda Prabhu. We can go to house of prostitution, still will not be contaminated. That's the power of spiritual life. So it is possible, yeah, it's true. But then one has to go to that level. Then he can do whatever he wants. But while in a conditioned state, one very consciously avoids, because otherwise you'll get caught up in that whole cycle. Srila Prabhupada ki.